what we're calling the deeper life. You see, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and his intention is, of course, to go all the way to the cross. But while he is on his way to Jerusalem and on his way to the cross, we find that he is demanding more from his followers as well. Last week, we talked about the challenge of the deeper life. Today, I'd like to talk to us a little bit about responding to the deeper life. Now, when Jesus told this story about the wise and foolish builders, he was speaking to a large crowd of his disciples and a great number of other people who had begun to follow him because of the healing touch of Christ, either physically, emotionally, or spiritually. Many had begun to follow after Christ. So we can safely say that those who were receiving this message about the building of a house were those who already were following the Master. Maybe they were those who were closest to the Master. I think that alerts us to the reality that these words of Jesus about building the house in this portion of Scripture that's listed on your worksheet is to help those of us who have started living the Christian life, living a new life in Christ, to build a stronger and deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus wants us to clearly understand the issues of life, and he speaks to us about everyday living. So I think this illustration from the story that Jesus told can be very helpful to us in the living of our Christian life. Now, this message should have helped Judas. Judas was with the disciples, had been following Jesus, but it seems that he turned a deaf ear and he ended up betraying Christ. It should have helped the Apostle Peter. After all, he was a follower of Christ, very close to Jesus, and yet it seems that he turned a deaf ear to Christ and denied him. In fact, it's interesting, isn't it, that all of the disciples ended up going away from Jesus about the time that he went to the cross. So this is a very important story. Jesus is saying, let me show you something about the deeper life, the one that holds firm until the very end. Let me illustrate the kind of person that you need to be and what you need to do if you want to last in the Christian life all the way to the end. Let me illustrate what you must do to stand the test of time, to weather the storms, to remain faithful to God and to others to the very end as you live your Christian life. Three or four things that we want to look at this morning. The first truth I would want us to learn from this story about Jesus telling, building the house on a rock or on the sand, I think he would want us to respond to the deeper life. He would want us to understand that we cannot live a life without adversity. You can't live a life without adversity. Notice in verse 48 it says, when a flood came, the torrent struck the house. But just notice, the flood came. The flood came. While much of life may be lived in the sunshine, on a smooth path, there are those moments when the sun is hidden behind the cloud, and the path we are on grows rather steep in the living of life. You see, sooner or later, the storm is going to come to your life and to my life, and they will test the most durable character of our life when they come. Jesus illustrates this in the setting of this story, which takes place in Palestine. You see, there were many riverbeds there that dried up during the summertime, and it left an inviting place for people to build their homes on. But the reality was, after the winter time and after the September rains, often the floodwaters would come in. And if someone had built there on the sand and the floods came, it would wash those houses away. Adversity always came. Adversity always comes, even to our individual lives. There will be, for example, the adversity of temporal affliction in our life. When Jesus talked about the floods, it seems he was thinking of those circumstances in life that are unfavorable to us. There are times when our best will not be good enough. Those times when family problems seem to overwhelm us. Those places where money just doesn't stretch far enough. The loss of a job, the agony of a long illness, the circumstances of life that seem to trap us. Sooner or later, some of those things are going to come to our life. But adversity is also seen in the torrent that struck against the house. You see, Jesus knew well the pressure of temptation that can come to a life. He had just experienced temptation. He had spent 40 days in the wilderness, hungry, tempted by the devil. So he knew about the torrent that would come, the torrent of temptation. Paul understood that, and that's why he wrote the Ephesian Christians and said, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the powers of darkness." Jesus knew that with every experience of disappointment, and we have them, every experience of criticism, and we get them, every experience of failure, and sometimes we have them, would be the beating pressure of temptation to give up and quit. Jesus wanted to alert us. These are the kinds of things that hammer away at the interior of your soul, your heart, your mind, and your emotions, until one day you say to yourself, "I think I just as well give up and quit." But the overriding implication of this story carries much more meaning than these seasonal storms that come and go. The real lesson of adversity here seems to be that one day, we'll encounter that which we could never handle in our own strength. Could it be the storm of sin that needs forgiveness? Or is it the adversity that mounts when we spend our life on the sands of self-centered living, building a life outside of the kingdom of God? And it happens. Did you know that God will let you build any kind of a life that you want? And you can build your life outside of the kingdom of God. In Psalms 106, David, you remember, talked about in the Old Testament after the children of Israel had been delivered from Egypt. And they were in the desert. And there was a time when they tended to turn their back on God and they desired their own way. You remember what David said? He said, "God, let them have their way." But he sent leanness, deficiency to their soul. Isn't that interesting? God will let us build any kind of a life we want, even if it's deficient spiritually. He offers better life, but he'll let us do anything we want. You can neglect your devotions. You can hold the church at arm's length. You can dabble in social sins. God won't stop you. But he probably will send leanness to your soul. And that's what makes us weak when the storms of life come flooding in. That's what causes us to fail sometimes. Mozart was one of the greatest composers to ever live. In fact, the whole musical world pays him tribute. But when he was living and composing, do you know he saw his musical class to dwindle to 2 pupils? Did you know that Mozart never made any money off of his music? He died a lonely death, broke, was buried in an unmarked grave, a pauper's death. But he believed in what he was doing. He had steel in his soul. And he never caved in. Even when life didn't give him what he thought it ought to give. Not only do we see the element of adversity, but the deeper life also has a point of assurance for us. Jesus said, "The house whose foundation was laid on a rock was not even shaken." You know, there are a lot of things that we can rest our life on, aren't there? We can rest our life on a job. We can rest our life on money. We can rest our life on some person. We can rest our life on a philosophy of life. But we're reminded here that the only lasting foundation for our life is Jesus Christ. Paul told the Corinthians, he said, "For no one else can lay any other foundation other than Jesus Christ." He also wrote Timothy in a hard time, and he said, "Nevertheless, God's solid foundation holds firm." I like that, don't you? Have you discovered the foundation of Jesus Christ in living your life? Life can be tough. Are you standing on Christ? Have you discovered that for your life? He is the foundation that is sure and steady. The Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ is as certain as the law of gravity, as sure as the changing of seasons. We are to build our life on Him. He is all-powerful. He is ever-present in the world. His love is constant. His mercies are new every morning. One songwriter expressed it by just saying, "He never changes. He's a sure foundation." Christ is also the foundation that is adequate for everyday living. In Nahum, I think it's on your worksheet, it says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble." Isn't that something? God is good. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. Are you in trouble? There is one who is a stronghold. There's one that you can depend on. Peter said He is a precious stone. When the floods of life come, you'll not be overcome. When temptation comes, you won't cave in. He is a precious stone, Peter said. He is a tested stone. He is a sure foundation if you'll trust in Him. If you'll trust in Jesus Christ, Peter said, you'll never be put to shame. Isn't that something? Never be put to shame by trusting in Christ. A teen helped his father build a house for retirement on the rocky hillside of Texas. They hand-dug the trenches for their perimeter beams. They did it with picks and bars and shovels. After weeks of part-time work, they laid the steel in place and they poured the concrete. Through the years, that structure has suffered greatly from the storms and from the weather. But the foundation that was laid, stood firm. And it kept the house from falling. You see, it was built on the rock. Are you building your house on the rock, Jesus Christ? Thirdly, not only do we see the elements of adversity and assurance, but action as well. Notice in verse 47, Jesus said, "I'll show you what He," that is, the person who goes deeper, "is like. He comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice." The focus of living this life seems to narrow down to one word. Did you catch it there? The word is practice. The word is to put into practice God's word. That's what gives us a lasting quality in our life. That's what gives us lasting character for the living of our life. Now, practice begins by securing the reality of Christ for ourselves. He is, for example, the foundation stone of forgiveness. Have you ever had a time in your life when you'd like to be forgiven? You see, the storm of guilt, hopelessness, the storm of estrangement with God can be put to rest by responding to the rock and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Scripture says He is faithful and just to forgive our lives. He is the foundation stone for the Spirit-filled life that will put to rest the inner rebellion and resistance against God. If you'll come to Him in total consecration and faith, He has the power to handle anything. Peter said, as you come to Christ, the living stone or foundation, you're being built into a spiritual house. That is, a life that will last through all the storms of life. Have you taken these steps to secure a proper foundation in Jesus Christ? Once we have secured the Christ of reliability for ourselves, we need only to practice His teachings in God's Word. Like loving our enemies, doing good to those who hate us, forgiving people who have mistreated us or maybe even stabbed us in the back. Like living a new lifestyle of moral character in today's world. Like establishing a lifestyle of giving, the giving of our lives and our resources to others. For if we live out His sayings in everyday life, our life will not fall when the elements of resistance and the floodwaters come to our life. I think we all want that, don't we? Don't we want to be able to stand firm when the floodwaters come? We have a rock, Jesus Christ, that can handle anything and help us through all. There was a young man who failed again and again in the storm of temptation when he was growing up. Yet in his adult life, he became a responsible Christian, a worker in the church. You say, well, what changed him? How could that be? Well, he began to put into practice the sayings of Jesus Christ. He secured the foundation of forgiveness and the Spirit-filled life. And then he began to live the life laid out in God's Word. And he was able to stand firm, or at least the foundation that he was standing on was firm in the living of his life. The years have brought their storms of temptation, floods of opposition, but this man has stood the test of time. He's living a life that lasts. Finally, living the deeper life is being aware of our accountability. I can't stress this enough. No one's accountable but you. One person said to me years ago, you are the custodian of your own soul. You're either going to make it or not make it based on you and your response to Jesus Christ. We are accountable for the house that we're building. These words that talk about a person building a house remind us that everyone is involved in the building process. It begins sometimes at an early age, for there we begin to decide something about the character of our life. Through the years, we can be swayed by the impressions, and directions of people that we allow to be around us. We learn something about the lessons of failure and success. But gradually, one day, we begin to build a life. And that life is either going to last or it'll fall. Because we are the custodians of our own soul. True, Christ is the rock. He has made himself available. He has supplied all the elements of forgiveness and grace and hope for our inner support. But we're accountable to reach out to him and apply that grace to our life. Perhaps the most sobering truth for us to remember here is, when it's all said and done, we're the ones that's going to live in that house. Isn't that something? It's your house. You're the one that's going to live in it. And therein lies the need to respond to the deeper life. To not only hear and know something of those inner supports, but to obey and put them into practice. You see, one day, our resources will dry up. Pressure will build. Somewhere we'll fail even to meet our own expectations in life. But only Jesus Christ can hold us steady to the end. Do you like the house that you're living in? There's a story that we reviewed on Wednesday night a couple weeks ago that I'd like to tell. A workman went to his boss one day and said, "I'm tired. I think I'm going to quit and take my retirement benefits." And the boss said, "Oh, I hope you'll wait just a little while." He said, "I don't want you to quit, yes." He said, "I've got a really important client that I'd like for you to build his house. He's important to me. It's a luxurious house. It's on the golf course. And I'd really like for you to build it." Well, the man reluctantly said, "Well, I'll do one more job and then I'm going to quit." So he began to build this house. It had all kinds of designs, and it was a big house on the golf course. It was an important client to his boss. But his heart wasn't in it. His heart wasn't in it, and so he cut corners. He cut on material. He cut on some of the work. He saved his boss some money. But when he got all done, he knew it wasn't his best job. But anyway, he took the keys and he handed them to his boss and he said, "Well, I'm all finished." And the boss said, "Oh, good." He took the keys and he handed them back to the man. He said, "I want you to have the keys." And he reached in his briefcase and he said, "And here's the title and deed to your house." He said, "I have appreciated your work over the years so much. This is my way of saying thanks for all that you've done for me over the years." The man thought to himself, "I wished I hadn't cut corners. I wished I'd have put more into it. Ah, that's just like life. That's life. We can cut corners. We can hold back on the work. We can build something that's a little less. But when eternity calls, it's your house. And it'll be the house you live in. Life is a building process that demands we go deeper. Deeper demands the response of remembering adversity, assurance, action, and accountability. In the deeper life, we find a stronger, deeper relationship with Jesus Christ that will enable us to stand against the floods of life. Now, this morning, we're going to experience baptism together in this new baptism. This is the first time at our church that we've used this baptistry. But I want to say this. It'll mean nothing if we haven't built a foundation. If we haven't built a foundation on Jesus Christ, the baptism means nothing. You see, the water will not change your heart. Only Jesus Christ can do that. Now, the baptism will help us to go deeper. And there are a lot of reasons. I'm just going to give you four. Number one, it helps us to go deeper because it follows the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself was baptized by John the Baptist. He said it must be done. Secondly, it's an act of obedience to God. Do you remember right after Pentecost, the people said, "Oh my, what must we do to be saved?" And Jesus said, "Repent of your sins and be baptized, every one of you." So baptism is an act of obedience once we put our faith and trust in Christ. Number three, it speaks publicly of our new life in Christ. You see, when we're baptized, we're really testifying. We're saying, "I've put my faith and trust in Christ." It symbolizes the fact when they go down in the water, it's death to the old life. When they come up, it means they have been clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then number four, it's our public promotion into the fellowship and involvement in the church of Jesus Christ. So being baptized is very important. It does help us go deeper in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this morning we have four individuals that are going to be baptized. And I'm going to ask that they make their way to this room back here. And Nancy and Jerry is going to come and lead us in amazing grace while we're getting ready back there to come in and be baptized. So why don't you stand, take a little break, stand up, and let's sing Amazing Grace.